crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, May 17th, 2015. I'm David Knight. I'll be your host. We're also going to have Paul Joseph Watson joining us in the second hour. In the next segment, Alex is going to be joining us with a special report. He's got a special report about, essentially, we've been under a lot of attack lately, and he's going to break down some of the more ridiculous attacks for you. We are over the target, and when that happens, we get a lot of attacks. I'm also going to go over, there's a lot of news that's on InfoWars today. Listen to some of these headlines. UK Prime Minister David Cameron proclaims, it's not enough that you follow the law, you must love Big Brother. Listen to what he actually said. Here's the quote. This is from David Cameron. For too long, we have been a passively tolerant society, saying to our citizens, as long as you obey the law, we'll leave you alone. What's he going to do for people? How is he going to change this now? I don't really understand the contract as it's going to be changed in the UK. You know, we have contract law, not a dictatorship in the West. Supposedly, we have contracts like the Constitution, like laws that are written by our legislatures, things that recognize the fact that when you obey the law, you are left alone by the government. That's been the contract. That's been the fundamental contract traditionally in English and American law for centuries. So now he's saying for far too long we've done that. We've just been passively tolerant of people who obey the law, but that's not enough. We're not going to leave you alone if you obey the law. Now, a lot of people tweeted this out and said, Glenn Greenwald said, this is really the mentality of Her Majesty's government. It's now not enough for you to obey. You must love Big Brother. Quite frankly, I don't see anything in that about loving Big Brother. I see them analyzing every aspect of your life, as we've seen the NSA do, looking at your social media, looking at your metadata from your phone company, following everywhere you go, tracking and taxing you, and constantly analyzing you to see if you are doing something unusual. I mean, that's the whole aspect of mastering the human domain. You know, people are talking about Jade Helm 15. That's what concerns me, is the aspect of the surveillance state, the idea that they are going to analyze everything that you do in a pre-crime type of way. They say they're not looking for anybody that's committing any crimes. It fits perfectly with what Cameron is saying in the UK, because this is being brought out, rolled out in all the countries at the same time, just like the TPP. They're saying, we're not looking for criminals, we're just looking for things that are unusual. And then we'll decide if that's something we should be worried about. Well, let's look at some of the things that they're doing now. We've got a North Carolina woman that's being evicted from her own land because she's living in a tent. Why is she living in a tent? When she was hooked up to the septic system of the local county, they dumped tons of raw sewage onto her property. She disconnected that. They tried to clean that up, and she refuses to hook back up to that. She wants to stay on her own septic. She's got a tent now where they've damaged her property, and they say, no, you can't do that unless you are a licensed campground. That's what they're telling her locally. We're seeing that kind of tyranny everywhere. Look at the mandatory vaccines. That's now taken another step in California. The state bill that's there has passed the Senate. It is moving on to the House. People there need to be awake. And that's not the only state, unfortunately, where this is happening. This is happening everywhere. Changing the term of informed consent, taking away our ability, our rights as human beings to look at what we're being given, to have a discussion with our doctor, to see what we agree with, what's appropriate for us, and make those decisions. No, they change the language. They say it's no longer informed consent. It is a personal belief exemption. It's just what you think. It doesn't really matter. We're the ones who have all knowledge. We'll tell you what's good for you. And you don't have any rights. You just have the exemptions that we give you. We're going to take those away. I think it's interesting to see how they use language. You know, for the longest time, we've seen Democrats talking about being pro-choice when the only choice they wanted to give you was whether or not you were going to abort your child. They certainly are not going to give you a choice about what you put into your child, how you medicate or treat your child. Stay with us right after the break. We've got a special report from Alex Jones. We'll be right back.
Regardless of what you think about the Jade Helm operation coming up this summer, the main thing to always remember as an American is to question your government. That is something that you have a right to do. Americans have pretty much lost all faith in government at this point in time. The mainstream media is not doing their job whatsoever. They simply sit at their desk, read their teleprompters, and just spew out whatever words the government or Pentagon has told them to say. The fact that Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lestory and Thomas Meade said that the government sat back while these private landowners were approaching them, asking them to use our land, to please come out here, deploy your troops, and not take any money whatsoever. And now we know, as of yesterday, the mayor of Big City in Texas says that they will be getting compensation, they will be receiving money, and in fact, the government came to them. So if you'd like to see more about this, go watch a video called Caught in a Lie. It'll be up at Infowars.com.
To an Infowars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
My friends, my fellow freedom lovers worldwide, we're broadcasting worldwide on this live edition of the Alex Jones Show, Sunday, May 17th, 2015. Now, there's a lot we're going to be breaking down today. We're going to cut back in a moment to the studio and David Knight live, breaking down the latest news and information, and then I'll return tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with a weekday broadcast. But the first thing I want to talk about today is why are the people and why are governors and senators and House members not trusting Obama, Homeland Security, and the leadership of the Pentagon when they promise that there's nothing nefarious with military operations like Jade Helm? It's because we live in a climate where we've been lied to on so many fronts over and over again, and we've seen Washington engaged in dictatorial power grabs at a monumental level across the board. And we see a dinosaur mainstream media that continues to arrogantly say they've never lied, they've never deceived, and they don't work for special interest, and that anyone that questions the official narrative is a tyrant. Now, before I get into some of these latest lies, let's just talk about the new Mad Max movie that I've now had a chance to see so that we can critique that. It's okay if one movie out of 10 has an anti-male, anti-family, woman cult worldview. It's that every major movie coming out now, and the video game industry and others admit that there is a directive by the suits, by the old men that run it, to make it about a women against men paradigm. And in this movie, all the men are genocided by the women because men are inherently bad and women are inherently good. And it's every new movie that comes out where they advertise it's some movie with a guy, because women and men like to go watch heroes. That's just a fact worldwide. They lie and say it's a movie about guys fighting, and you go see it, and it is a movie about how men are inherently bad. Listen, I'm not in a war against women. It's divide and conquer by the globalists. That's simple. They're dividing us along every line, and there's so much propaganda. It's come out now, last week, that the NFL is paid every time they make a touchdown to cut to troops in the audience to create a Pavlovian event so you associate your team winning or a touchdown with troops. And my point is, just be aware of the propaganda. I'm not against women having their rights. I'm not against troops. I am saying be aware of the manipulation and the control that's taking place, and realize that in the name of a lot of good things that are pushed, we're being sold a lot of bad things. Let's go over here to the computer, and let's look at some of these latest news articles on this Sunday edition. Arctic ice shelf could crumble, says NASA study. They never even develop new lies. They know the public doesn't know how ice shelves work, how glaciers work, north and south, the Arctic, the Antarctic. And when Al Gore got his Nobel Prize in 2007 for his film An Inconvenient Truth, which has been proven to be a total fraud, you know, the saying that polar bears can't swim and stuff like that when their numbers are up fivefold since 1955. Look it up. just type in polar bear numbers explode worldwide, you know, from Russia to the north of Canada. And he got up there and said that within 7 years, we're going to see this particular ice cap totally melt. Well, we're going to show you the satellite shots of the Arctic and Antarctic, where they've both gotten bigger since 2007 in that speech. The truth is, rain and snow fall on them. They build up, and then they slough off and flow to the sea. They always have. You can read Roman accounts of being, you know, in the north of Europe on the coastlines exploring and seeing mountains collapsing into the ocean. I mean, this goes on. Polar bears are the greatest land animal swimmer. They don't drown. Penguins are not all dying in the south. And I assure you, this is what glaciers do. Al Gore's been proven to be wrong. We're going to show you some of the satellite images in a moment from NASA. Now NASA has come out, meaning they're politicalized scientists. So we don't send humans to space anymore. That's all for robots, so we just get dictated to by NASA. That the ocean's going to rise 11 feet, and basically there'll be water in Austin, Texas in most areas. I mean, just crazy made-up bull. If one piece of the southern Antarctic glacier breaks off. So let's go over some of these articles. This is Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera was here in town interviewing me last week. They looked at me straight face and said, there is no gun control. There is no move to take guns in America. You're making it up, Mr. Jones. The piece airs next week. And I said, no, there are gun bans in all these cities. The Brady campaign says they want our guns. And they go, no, they don't. Just like they're going along with the lie that the Arctic ice shelf could crumble, says NASA study, and we'll be under all this water. Myth of Arctic meltdown. Stunning satellite images show ice cap is thicker and covers 1.7 million square kilometers. Look, and it's the same thing for the south. This is the Arctic ice shelf. This is 2012, and you can see this is 2014. Much bigger, with the entire northern passage for ships completely blocked off. I mean, that is a fact that he said that by 2013 it would be completely gone, and it's now the biggest ever recorded by satellites. Here it is, CNN. Study raises concerns over big, rapidly thinning Antarctic ice. And they first said this back in March, but it was back on TV today, so I went and looked it up. Okay, let's continue. Here's Al Gore saying that the experts were saying that it was all going to be melted by 2013. Here is that audio and video.
The third and the fourth. And the consistent conclusion, restated with increasing distress, is that something basic is wrong. We are what is wrong, and we must make it right. Last September 21st, as the northern hemisphere tilted away from the sun, scientists reported with unprecedented alarm that the North Polar ice cap is, in their words, falling off a cliff. One study estimated that it could be completely gone during summer in less than 22 years. Another new study to be presented by U.S. Navy researchers later this week warns it could happen in as little as 7 years. 7 years from now.
There he is. This is the same Nobel Committee that gave Henry Kissinger an award. Now we're going to go to a break in a moment and come back with David Knight and go to part two of my report here. But I'm going to continue the time I have left to break this down. We'll be going about 7 minutes here. All right, now continuing, there is Al Gore. Now this is the rich eugenicist that give Henry Kissinger an award for peace when he's a total warmonger. This is the eugenicist that want to be able to organize a global government around taxing all carbon while ignoring all the serious real environmental things that are happening. Okay, let's continue. They're the same ones ramming through what Republicans are pushing with Obama right now. Republicans claim enough votes to pass fast-track trade bill, even though it just failed in the Senate. Now, let's continue. This is the same elite that aren't sending humans into space now, that are saying everything will be done by machines in the future, that humans really weren't that good, that they're going to merge with computers. These are human-hating scum. And then we read about the incredible drought in California and other areas, and I've had meteorologists on from California who show the videos and show that the Doppler feed of wet weather systems coming in that would normally rain on the state and the whole West Coast, and then these aircraft take off on radar and go and fly in front of it. You can just type in chemtrails and NASA satellite videos, photos, and block the weather systems. And I've had Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, on when it was declassified a decade ago, admitting that in the 60s they could control and steer and create or kill hurricanes. And his job was to dry out the north of Vietnam and starve them, but flood the central areas where the war was going on. That's all declassified. Meanwhile, they call me a kook and dangerous in Ceylon for talking about weather modification, the fact that it's a real science now basically perfected, geoengineering. But HAARP itself is able to ignite the atmosphere. It's so powerful. I've had the director of HAARP on the broadcast. Now, let's just continue here.
All right, folks, Alex Jones here on this live Sunday Worldwide Edition. We'll be right back with the conclusion of this report and David Knight, who's riding shotgun.
Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, live here in Austin. We're going to be joined by Paul Joseph Watson from the UK, but before we do, here's the rest of Alex Jones' special report.
Let's just continue here, breaking all of this down. You have all these huge shadow projects going on that are incredibly classified, but the patents on all of these Eastland systems admit, with these Tesla technologies, that it can literally turn the atmosphere into a weapon system. And there is the article attacking me, amongst other things, for saying that there's weather control. All right, now. This, if you're watching us on TV, if you're a radio listener, just search UN Treaty on Weather Weapons, 1978, Convention on Prohibition of Military and or Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. And it goes through all the signatures, the signatories that go over this. And now that we're back from break, again, I just want to direct all the TV viewers and all of the radio listeners to go look up the Weather Weapon Convention. You can also look up Secretary of Defense William Cohen, admitting that they have weather weapons, admitting that they had developed those and that other governments had. Because you need to understand, we just don't say, hey, it looks like California is a weather weapon. Dubai, Saudi Arabia and others have already begun greening hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of acres, by putting up towers like HAARP that actually energize the atmosphere in a way that makes the water particulate, the nuclei, come together, or it resonates potash and sand and things in the atmosphere to make them resonate where water sticks to it. Okay, you just spray other chemicals, it makes water disperse and not form droplets. They're now creating the first domed cities in the Middle East and Dubai and other areas. But here, we're going backwards. And here, people are so ignorant, they don't even know this stuff exists. Here's a headline, Daily Mail. Could clouds be zapped by a laser to stop it raining? Scientists to discuss plans to control the weather. Here's another one. Dubai to build temperature-controlled city, world's largest shopping mall. Again, that's the Weather Channel. Here's another one. The Atlantic, the science behind human-controlled weather. Now, they go on to say, hey, geoengineering could save us from global warming. They're trying to introduce it to the public like it's brand new. And they're like, oh, Bill Gates has a big company that can control hurricanes and can make it snow or make it rain. When there's Department of Energy programs and others that we know exist but that are classified, spending one program $5 billion a year to manipulate the weather. And that's what I'm getting at here today. We're not living in 1942. We're living in 2015, and the elites, in their own words, have compartmentalized incredible technologies and not deployed them to the public. Anything we are given, whether it's a new thermostat or an iPhone, is Trojan horse designed to track, control, and run our lives and tax us. All the new cars are coming out to tax you by the mile. Told you that 15 years ago. This is a very predatory system, but they're leaving the baubles, the entertainment, the trinkets, the ceremonial vestiges of liberty there So the public is basically playing and having a good time while the globalists have the incredible scientific breakthroughs, build their technological reservations, build their corporate reservations separate from humanity. We have a breakaway civilization taking place. And people need to force a major debate about this. And that's why Jade Helm is so exciting, because we can force a debate about militarization of police. We can force a debate about federalization. We can force a debate about Obama acting unilaterally, even outside of executive orders, on the borders, on energy, on guns. And people are getting fed up with the power structure, even though they don't know one-tenth of what's really going on. They understand that things aren't right, and they have a bad feeling. And so the mainstream media, the corporate media, is going to engage in disinformation, damage control, and is going to misrepresent what we say and do, and is going to cherry-pick what we say and do to try to demonize us. Because InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and Jakari Jackson and David Knight and Leanne McAdoo and the rest of the great crew are simply saying what the public's already thinking and pointing it out. We're not even connecting the dots now. We are simply breaking down the fact that there are control freaks and social engineers that really enjoy manipulating our civilization and our future, and it's a very anti-human future and civilization that's being built. Now, I'm going to throw it back live here on the Sunday broadcast, 4 to 6 p.m. I did the Sunday show last week. I'm only doing part of it here today. I've got some family in town, and I'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, with a weekday transmission. But David Knight's got a bunch of news on the TPP, all these globalist treaties, the latest on them trying to start race riots in Cleveland. We're probably going to be sending our reporters there, and so much more. But whatever you do, don't take independent media for granted. Spread the word about InfoWars.com. Start your own small media operation. It will grow. Whatever you do, speak up, be heard, vote with your dollars, support transparency and freedom, and realize that the corporate media has gone completely rogue with the rogue government. They know they've committed crimes, and they're going for broke. They are cornered. They are very, very dangerous. And they want to keep you ignorant about science, about weather modification, about social engineering, about social Darwinism, about how they're using anthropology to control us. They want to keep you ignorant about militarization of police or the Army's admission that they're being given the mission to take on the American people. That's why the public's concerned, because a minority of the public of every race, color, and creed is aware of what's happening and is concerned. And no amount of demonization is going to ever shut that down. You may have 50% of people that will be happy to be slaves, but a large portion of the other 50 will not comply and go along with it. And that's why the power structure has become so arrogant. They think they're invincible, but they're starting to find out that that's not the case. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and throw back to David Knight here today on the Sunday broadcast. I want to thank you all for your support. InfoWars is under unprecedented attack right now by the establishment media, because what we're saying is so on target, and we couldn't be getting this word out or funding this operation without your help. So I want to thank you all today for what you've done. I want to, in closing, encourage all of you to visit InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. That's how we pay for the websites, the news, the reporters, the equipment, the servers, the infrastructure, the operation. Is you purchasing the high-quality products. We've got 20% off on some of the most amazing nutraceuticals out there, like Super Male and Super Female Vitality. We've got some other discounts running as well. We have the new Prostaguard formulated to have a fusion of 10 ingredients known to really help your prostate and supercharge your body. And it's all available at InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. And again, we couldn't do it without you. Please tell folks about the free podcast. Please tell folks about InfoWars.com/show, where there's the free video feed. Tell folks about the YouTube channels with about a billion views total, 500 plus million on one channel. The truth is popular, and as Ron Paul says, we can legalize freedom again. So I want to salute all of you for your support and your prayers. I'm Alex Jones, signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar. We now take you to the InfoWars.com News Center and David Knight live.
Stay with us when we come back. We're going to be talking about the upcoming week. We have a big week. We're standing on the cusp of tyranny, a secret trade agreement. We have Canadian laws that are being changed retroactively, as well as a massive new law in the UK. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate. And I hope that judge.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in Austin. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Paul Joseph Watson from the UK. And of course, there's been some big news in the UK. There's big news all over the globe. We see tyranny right on the cusp of shutting down freedoms that we have enjoyed for centuries, especially in the UK. Let's take a look at this new counterterrorism act that's been announced by David Cameron and the Conservatives right after being reelected. Michael Krieger of Liberty Blitzkrieg points out it's not just those domestic extremist and crazy conspiracy theory kooks who took serious issue with UK Prime Minister David Cameron's recent overtly fascist language. Well, let's talk about this. Would you have thought that it was hyperbole or exaggeration for somebody to say this? We've been telling you this is going to be happening for quite some time here at InfoWars. Alex Jones has been talking about this, documenting the plans to do this for a very long time. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that this was in the cards. You could see that this was coming. They're incrementally moving towards this. Now, listen to what he had to say in introducing this new bill. David Cameron, Prime Minister of the UK, said, "For far too long, we have been a passively tolerant society, saying to our citizens, as long as you obey the law, we will leave you alone. So now the presumption is that they're not going to leave you alone if you obey the law. That has always been the contract." Max Kaiser did a video about it, talking about the 26 scariest words, kind of referring to Reagan's 9 scariest words in the English language, where he said, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." Now we have David Cameron saying, "We've been tolerant of people in our society saying, we'll leave you alone if you obey the law, but that's not going to happen anymore." And so people are asking, well, what are they really planning on doing? Well, here's what The Guardian reports. The Guardian says the measures would give the police powers to apply to the High Court for an order to limit the harmful activities, quote unquote, of an extremist individual. The definition of harmful would include a risk of public disorder, a risk of harassment, alarm, or distress, or creating a, quote, threat to the functioning of democracy. How's that for broad? See, what they're doing is they accuse anyone who questions the official government story, anyone who questions the contradicting, obviously false stories that come from the authorities. If you take exception to that, you're labeled a conspiracy theorist. People will say, you're trying to scare the public. No, the means of taking down our centuries of common law, respect for the rights of the individual, innocent until proven guilty, the contract that if you obey the law, you'll be left alone, and the idea that we should have some input as to what those laws are, all of that is being taken away by conspiracy, because they're working together on this, and quite frankly, under our charters that are centuries old, whether it's the Magna Carta or whether it's the Constitution, they're working together to do something that is prohibited by those charters. That is the legal definition of a conspiracy. It's not a theory. And they are the ones who are using fear to destroy the foundations of Western society, using also political correctness. Now, listen to what else they said. They would also include a ban on broadcasting and a requirement to submit to the police in advance any proposed publication on the web and social media or in print. There goes free speech. Because, you know, you might scare somebody, you might offend somebody, you might concern people, you might say something that would harm democracy, quote unquote. Not mentioning the fact that taking away our free speech harms democracy. So you would have to get prior permission to broadcast, to say anything if it's at all controversial. Now, the person who's putting this through is Theresa May. They comment and say, essentially, she's saying nonviolent groups that are currently not breaking any laws should be criminalized by creating new laws. Bring me the man. I'll find the crime. You understand how that's working? Now, another comments on this. What they're pointing out is that this is a comment from the Islamic Human Rights Council, because, of course, it'll be probably directed at them at first. Remember what Pastor Martin Niemöller said about Nazi Germany. First they came for this group, then they came for that group, then they came for me, and there was no one left to help me because they had taken everybody else away. We have to stand up for freedom of speech. So this is what they had to say. They said the Counterterrorism and Security Act moved us one step closer to a police state. The current set of proposals is the Orwellian nightmare with all the trappings from vague concepts such as British values that the government manipulates to persecute its opponents to using thought crime to silence them. Precisely, because this is all about pre-crime. This is what we're seeing in America as well. This is a very troubling, this is the most troubling aspect of Jade Helm that I personally see. The idea that human domain analytics, that activity-based intelligence, these ideas that have been percolating in Washington and in the intelligence community, the military community, homeland security, domestic law enforcement, this is what they're using the NSA for. They're using it as a broad surveillance of the public to see what pops out so they can then focus on the people that they might be political enemies. Maybe they're political dissidents. This is something that has gone on for a very long time. You know, many people, I would say, not all of us, but most people are familiar with the Church Committee hearings about the CIA. Those were the hearings where you had Richard Helms and others talking about the CIA's assassination programs, attempts to take out Fidel Castro, showing a particular type of guns that people had never seen before that were going to be used for assassination. That was all very sensational. You may not realize that there was another hearing that was going on in the House. It was called the Pike Committee. And the Pike Committee looked into the NSA, not just the CIA. It was a far more insightful investigation, quite frankly. At that point, nobody really knew that the NSA exists. For the longest time, they said it stood for no such agency. So they didn't even know that it existed at that point in time. They certainly didn't know where it came from. Now, the head of that committee was successful in getting the NSA to testify before his committee. And one of the reasons, listen to this, one of the reasons he was able to get him in was because, as part of the testimony of the CIA, they pointed out that they, as well as the NSA, no such agency, were collecting massive phone surveillance, massive data from people, collecting their mail, their phone conversations, using AT&T, using Western Union, using the post office. They were spying on people. It was a very, very primitive operation, especially compared to what they can do today. This was in the 1970s. So he was able to get the NSA head to come in for the very first time to even talk about an agency that nobody even knew existed at that point. And he wanted to know where their charter came from, because they'd been talking about the CIA violating its charter about spying on people domestically. And he said, where did you get your authorization? Can we see the authorization for it? And he says, well, certainly. You can go down and you can look at the charter at a government location outside of Congress. You can't put this on the Senate record. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like our Trans-Pacific Partnership that's coming up for authorization this week? You're not going to be able to, we can't see how this massive trade treaty, which goes far beyond just trade, it affects copyright, it affects pharmaceuticals, it affects so many different aspects of our lives, it affects our very sovereignty. It elevates corporations to the level of governments, and it's all being done in secret. Well, that's how the NSA was created as well. It turns out they didn't have a charter. Turns out they were created by executive order, a series of executive orders by President Truman. You see, all this stuff that Obama is doing, it's accelerated. Certainly, everything is accelerating. Everything is getting worse. But it is an incremental tyranny. They've been creating the legal infrastructure for this for a very long time. And it is accelerating. And it is getting much broader in its scope. I want to just read you a little bit of the back and forth between the head of the NSA and Congressman Pike, who had the committee. Congressman Pike was very upset. He said, you're talking about a document that sets up the entire NSA. It's one which all members of Congress are entitled to seeing. To which he said, no, it's got secret material in it. And he says, it seems incredible to me, frankly, we're asked to appropriate large amounts of money for a paper that we can't see how that agency is authorized. And yet that's what's going to happen this week with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We can see how it worked out for us with the NSA. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more news.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem, Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me. My misfits way of life.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, here live in Austin on this Sunday, May 17th, 2015. We're going to be joining Paul Joseph Watson in the next hour from the UK. He's going to break down some of the news there, and I was just talking about the massive counterterrorism bill that has come out in the UK. Very frightening the way this is worded, saying basically, for far too long, we've been very tolerant of people who just obey the law. We've left them alone. That those days are going to end because they're going to be fine-tuning everything that you do. They're going to be looking at everything you do, analyzing everything you do, and mapping it out. That's what the thrust of the NSA has been for a very long time. Going back to 2001, remember James Clapper, the guy who was asked by Ron Wyden, directly, are you doing dragnet surveillance in violation of the Constitution, in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act on the American public? Are you doing dragnet surveillance? And no, we're not really doing that. Now, go back to 2001, September 2001, actually. That date may sound familiar to you, 9/11. James Clapper's first directorship was Director of Geospatial Intelligence. Their directive was to map the human domain into the geographical domain, to look to see what people were doing, what they thought, who you are, who you know, what you do, and put it in a political, religious context, a cultural context. Going from nations, they said they've been looking at different nations down to different regions, and now they wanted to take it down to the individual because technology allowed them to do that. And so that's what we have when we look at the Jade Helm logo, Mastering the Human Domain. You need to understand what human domain analytics are set up for. This is really boots on the ground for the NSA. There's no other way to describe it. And of course, it was McRaven himself, the former head of Special Forces, that sold the Special Forces 2 years ago in 2013. He was talking about how they had to reinvent Special Forces. People thought of them too much as kinetic operations, as jumping out of planes or fighting on the ground. They wanted to get back to their roots, back to psychological operations, to manipulating people, to ferreting out people that might be a threat to their regime, to their plans, and shutting them down beforehand. Matches perfectly with what our surveillance state is doing all over the world. Look at this story from Canada. The Harper government is retroactively rewriting their gun registry law. Well, actually, the gun registry law has been changed, and some people wanted to get access to information about it, very much like the FOIA request that we have here in America. There was a concern that if they were allowed to look at this, it might expose criminal charges against the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So what did they do? They quietly changed the law. They quietly made it illegal to look at any of those memos. So much for freedom of information. That's Canada. And of course, in Britain, they're talking about in the name of protecting the democracy there, having prior consent for anything that people are going to publish or to write about, and elevating political correctness and thought crimes to a level that we have never before seen. We've all could see this coming, but it's where it's coming. Now, of course, this next week, we're also going to have the Trans-Pacific Partnership being brought up for a vote. There was a attempt to do a to stall it by the Democrats. They shut that down. They went to cloture. They're not going to have anything beyond voting this week. They will vote for whether or not they're going to take the recommendations, this treaty that has been negotiated in secret for years by corporate lobbyists. They're going to put that before the Congress, and they say they're going to give us 2 weeks to look at it. Now, you need to understand that this is a vast new treaty, this trade agreement, and it is about many things other than trade, and it is not about free trade any more than the bailout of the big banks that collapsed real estate markets was about free markets. No, this is crony capitalism writ large. This is legislation that has been created by these corporations. And this is something that after they show this to the Congress for 2 weeks, it'll be a straight up or down vote. There'll be no amendments, no changes allowed. But as Senator Sessions, one of the very few people who has gone to look at it, because they've kept this secret. You have to, you can go in, you can read it, but you can't talk about it. You can take notes, but you can't take those notes with you. But Senator Sessions went in and talked about it in a general way. And he said, it is a living document. Once this thing is passed, they will be able to add new nations in. They will be able to change every aspect of the treaty. So if this treaty doesn't have anything in there about gun control, they can easily put this in without any further input from our legislature, from the Congress, from the Senate. So understand, there's not going to be any amendments in the two-week period that they have to take a look at this. But after that, it can be freely changed by these corporate lobbyists. And so John Rappaport asks, he says, what law says that the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, must remain secret? Congress has to stay silent? Under what authority? Is there a law in the U.S. forbidding disclosure? Name that law. Can you recall anything in the Constitution that establishes secret treaties? I can't. Is there any prior treaty that states the text of all treaties can be hidden from the people? No. I can see no authority anywhere that justifies withholding the text of the TPP. Now, like I said, this is about far more than free trade. Many countries have pushed back against Big Pharma. Many of them don't have the kind of copyright protections that we have in this country, or they don't have their drugs copyrighted for as long a period of time. I want to play for you a clip from a Danish doctor comparing Big Pharma to organized crime. Here's that clip.
My name is Peter Goetje. I'm a director of the Nordic Cochrane Center in Copenhagen and professor of research design and analysis at the University of Copenhagen. 2 years ago, I found out that our prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. Our drugs kill around 200,000 people in America every year, and half of these people die while they do what their doctors told them. So they die because of the side effects. The other half die because of errors. And it's often the doctors that make the errors, because any drug may come with 20, 30, or 40 warnings, contraindications, precautions, and so on. No doctor in the world knows about all this. So they give patients drugs that they should not have given them, that interact dangerously with other drugs or food items or so on. And then the patients die. That's the other half. So the other thing I found out 2 years ago was that much of what the drug industry does fulfills the criteria for organized crime in U.S. law. And they behave in many ways like the mafia does. They corrupt everyone they can corrupt. They have bought every type of person, even including ministers of health in some countries. So there is a huge amount of corruption. In my country, for example, Denmark, we are regarded as having very little corruption. But yet we have thousands of doctors on industry payroll, although we are just 20,000 doctors. So this is an effective kind of corruption. The drug industry buys the professors first, then chiefs of department, then other chief physicians and so on. They don't buy junior doctors. So when several thousands are on industry payroll, it's really, really bad. And that's why I wrote my book, Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime, How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare. I hope to convince patients not to take so many drugs, because so many die from the drugs they take.
Absolutely. And yet we have legislation across the country that will hold a gun to our head and force us to take vaccines that the big pharmaceutical companies have already negotiated that they have no liability. If you haven't heard of the vaccine court, you need to look that up. They have no liability, yet they can force us to take their product, and they can withhold from us things that we want to take that are good for us. Now, if you want to take control of your health, one thing you can do to support our operation as well as support your health is take some of the safe and effective natural ingredients that we have at the InfoWars store. Of course, we just have a new product, Prostaguard. It's on an introductory sale right now, $5 off of the regular price as an introduction. This is something that will allow you to take control of your life. InfoWars Life is a blend of antioxidants and plant-based nutrients. This is a formulation in Prostaguard that is not only the highest quality out there, but it is a formula you can use on a daily basis. It gives you saw, palmetto, lycopene, plant steroids, and zinc. Many things that will help you to balance the hormones in your body, especially for men as they're getting older. Stay with us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk to Paul Joseph Watson from the UK. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin. We're going to be joining Paul Joseph Watson from the UK in the next segment. When he comes on, I want to talk to him about this new counterterrorism bill, as well as we're going to talk about the banning of cash. As Prime Minister David Cameron in the UK just recently said, for far too long, we've been passively tolerant, saying to our citizens, as long as you obey the law, we'll leave you alone. We're not going to do that anymore. One of the things that they're not going to leave you alone about is just having cash. They're going to set it up so they can take your cash. This is something we see one economist after the other calling for. We've got a couple of articles up on Infowars.com. Leading German Keynesian economist calls for a cash ban. Of course, we also had the chief economist for Citibank calling for the same thing. Watson is also going to talk about an economist from the UK saying we need to ban cash and force everyone to have government-controlled bank accounts. See, this is the end game. Keynesianism has essentially been an argument that if you borrow money, it doesn't really matter because you're just borrowing it from yourself. I remember when I took economics in college, we had microeconomics and we had macroeconomics. Microeconomics were the things that you did to balance your own personal checkbook or to balance the checkbook of your company, let's say. But of course, they said when you got to the national level, none of these things mattered. Somehow, they waved a magic Keynesian wand over it, called it macroeconomics, and said, you know, the laws of the real world don't apply here. You can just borrow and print money endlessly. And of course, that was a lie. Most people knew it was a lie. Certainly the Austrian economists pointed out it was a lie. Many others, there were a lot of different economics schools that pointed out these guys were nothing but court jesters for an omnipotent state that could print money and buy people out until they get to the point where we are today. They've already taken it down to zero interest rates. They can't control that anymore. They say they've got to go into negative interest rates to try to force people to spend the money they get. But it has also brought an unforeseen, for most people, circumstance out of this, and that is the massive consolidation of wealth into the hands of a few. That's what this has always been about. It's always been about essentially putting us on an interest-only loan to the Federal Reserve. That's the scheme. And now we see that this, as we've got the consolidation of wealth in the hands of a few, as it is being consolidated into the hands of foreign countries, they are starting to take control of these assets. One of those assets is going to be cash. But they also want to be able to follow everything you do. That's what's behind the new laws in the UK. And of course, we also just mentioned in the last segment about how the Canadian government is now retroactively written some laws that would essentially open up the Freedom of Information, access to the Information Act. It's what we call the FOIA request, the Freedom of Information Act here in America. They're going to shut that down to cover up the criminal actions of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, an unprecedented movement there. And of course, we need to understand that we have to always watch the police. That's why we need transparency, because when they're not watched, we get things like this. In Chicago, remember that black site, that black torture site, Homan Square? Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs went to cover it a few months ago because there were allegations from many people that they had been tortured. We have another one here. Chicago man. This is on Infowars.com. Chicago man says, cops brought me to a secret prison, anally raped me to force me to become an informant. Subtitle there, sadistic Chicago cops reportedly torture an innocent man. There's a video that's been obtained by The Guardian, and they say it shows him agreeing to meet them at a particular location, Al's Beef. Camera footage shows him walking over to their car with his hand extended for a handshake, unarmed, unassuming. They turn him around, push him against the car, cuff him, take him to Homan Square, where he alleges they sexually assaulted him. It says that what he says is they took their gun, they jammed it into his anus. He said, I started jerking, going crazy, going into full-blown panic mode. What did they want? They wanted him to be an informant. They wanted him to do a $170 deal for heroin, and they would do that to an innocent man. That's why we need to watch this secretive government that wants to know everything about us, won't tell us anything about them. We'll be right back.
Stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, May 17th, 2015. We're joined right now by Paul Joseph Watson from the UK. Of course, you're familiar with his work. If you've seen InfoWars.com, we're going to talk to him about not only the war on cash, but we're going to talk to him first about an article from TPM. Five videos that conspiracy theorists say are proof of a coming military takeover. Again, spinning things in a very straw man sort of way. But before we do, before we go to Paul, I just want to read you this article that just came out today. Russia and China are starting joint drills in the Mediterranean. Now, they say this isn't aimed at any third country. There's no mean, you know, they're not trying to offend anybody. They're not targeting anybody. And Sea Cooperation 2015, they're just military exercises. You know, they're not provocative. Look, you train where you fight. We've got our government training all over Europe and areas that are close to the Russians, and they are coming back and training in the Mediterranean. It's about intimidating people. It's about watching their reaction to that intimidation. That's what these American exercises being done in American cities are about as well. They say the war games aren't aimed against any third country. They aren't linked to any political situation in the region. Really? I mean, when you look at that, if you find that to be provocative, that the Russians are doing drills against NATO with China in the Mediterranean, you got to ask yourself then, why do we have our American military doing drills all over the country? And of course, that's what this article is about. Paul, let's talk about what they're saying here. This is Ahiza Garcia with TPM Muckraker.
Yeah, this is an article entitled Five Videos Conspiracy Theorists Say Are Proof of a Coming Military Takeover, which of course, we've never said that. The top video they featured is the one that we posted on InfoWars, I believe, on Thursday morning, which is out of Yuma, Arizona, where the U.S. Marines are practicing subduing Americans inside this mock internment facility. They're chasing them around at gunpoint, arresting them. And this TPM article, which is typical of the mischaracterizations that we've seen over the past few weeks amidst this deluge of hit pieces, says that this video was described by the conspiracy website InfoWars as alarming evidence of the impending military takeover. If you actually read the article that I wrote, the words military takeover appear nowhere in that article. I said it was alarming because of the content of the actual video, which is Marines, armed Marines, chasing around these American role players and arresting them at gunpoint inside a mock internment facility. That's why it was alarming. I said nothing about a military takeover. And then they go on to say, InfoWars said, quote, U.S. Army manuals have made it clear such operations also apply to the continental United States and will be used against American citizens during a national emergency. They go on to say that's a conspiracy theory, despite the fact that we've had the civil operations manual, we've discussed it, highlighted it, documented it at length, the fact that it applies domestically, you know, talking about rioters within America being put into internment camps, again, on domestic soil, taking on dissidents with lethal force. That's what's in these documents. But notice TPM, they excise the link, even though they quote us directly, they excise the link from that quote to the actual military document. And then they go on to say it's a conspiracy theory. So these are the tricks and tactics they use to mischaracterize everything that we've said and delegitimize the fact that much of this has been admitted by the U.S. military itself within its own documents.
Yeah, we've seen the training scenarios, and of course, from the very beginning, Alex Jones was saying this is part of getting us accustomed to seeing the military in civilian areas, and also getting the military accustomed to operating in civilian areas, training and operating in those areas, and also to take a look at how people are going to respond to this. I mean, that's one of the reasons that they do these kinds of exercises in the Mediterranean, one country against another. But it's a straw man to say that we're saying this is going to be a martial law takedown. That's what you can see. Every one of these articles will come out with that straw man argument, which we have specifically said we do not believe, and then repeat endlessly the mantra conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and then, you know, when by the end of September, when they don't announce martial law, they'll all come out again and say, oh, look how ridiculous these paranoid conspiracy theorists were. I think the US military is actually benefiting from this, if not promoting the idea that this is all about domestic martial law takeover, because I made the video where if you slightly rotate the Jade Helm match, the map, sorry, the hostile states of Utah and Texas closely approximate Iran and Syria. So I think this is definitely, all these things are dual purpose, but this is more geared towards foreign military occupations. And in fact, it was interesting, this didn't get picked up on, but Colonel Mark Lastoria, during that Bastrop town hall meeting, actually suggested that this was about potentially infiltrating U.S. troops into Eastern Europe. So we know that, you know, Jade Helm is about infiltrating populations undercover without being noticed. People rightly ask the question, well, if this was for Middle East occupation, how could a, you know, predominantly white U.S. troops and special forces infiltrate Muslim communities without being noticed? Well, of course, if it's for Eastern Europe, where the population is white, then that makes a lot more sense. And he actually mentioned that during that Bastrop town hall meeting, but nobody really picked him up on it. So I think, in a sense, this is more geared towards foreign military occupations, which in terms of Ukraine and Russia is extremely concerning. And in a way, the focus on all these conspiracy theories about, you know, Walmart centers being internment facilities and all that kind of stuff actually takes the attention away from what Jade Helm might be geared towards, which is foreign occupations, in particular Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, and of course, they talked a lot about the Walmart conspiracy in the TPM memo. I think it is, and we've said that we don't believe that that's part of the Jade Helm. I don't know what the Walmart is about. I mean, it's quite likely it's a movement against people that unionized in those particular Walmarts. But the explanation that we got from Walmart is so ridiculously unbelievable that that's what has invited all this speculation. And that's the same thing that we see from the U.S. military, from the Pentagon spokesman. It's not believable. But there is one thing, Paul, that is there, and that is mastering the human domain. I think if we go back and we look at what that means to the military, how they've been using that for a number of years, a couple of years ago when McRaven was still head of Special Forces, he was continually talking about how they needed to get back to their roots, which are basically nation building, also nation destroying, the psyops that they run on different local political leaders. And they're moving that together and offering themselves as a handmaid to the cyber intelligence, to the geospatial intelligence, saying that we need to have boots on the ground to do this effectively. We can't do this completely from terminals at a distance. Listen to this, Paul. This is General McRaven 2 years ago saying, understanding and dominating terrain, and remember, mastering the human domain, that's the subtitle to Jade Helm 15. He says, dominating terrain is just as important now as it was 5,000 years ago. But he said, what's important, we have to understand what terrain we're going to dominate and what's important to our enemy or to our allies. And by knowing what motivates the people, what incentivizes the people, what mobilizes the people, what frightens them, that will, and what will undermine their will. See, a great deal of the unconventional warfare that they're talking about, and they mentioned in these slides that Jade Helm is unconventional warfare. That is to undermine the will of the people to fight. It is to monitor how they respond to different inputs and to map that out over a human domain, looking at social media, looking at metadata, examining public opinion and manipulating public opinion. So, Paul, I think that a large part of this operation is psychological. That's what they have been doing for a very long time.
Yeah, and they use similar language in the Army Civil Disturbance Operations Manual. They talk about, you know, re-educating people to appreciate U.S. policy. So that kind of psychological aspect is also in there.
Yes.
We've also had reports.
Hang on, Paul. We got to go to a break. We're going to be right back. Paul Joseph Watson from the U.K. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host in Austin, and joining us from the UK is Paul Joseph Watson. We were talking in the last segment about the latest effort to discredit any investigation of what Jade Helm is about. Any discussion about what the appropriate role of the military is. They also point out that this is nothing but a conspiracy theory. Yet what they're doing is they're creating a straw man argument for this, saying that this is, we're saying that this is about martial law takeover. This is not, I don't think, and we've said this from the very beginning. Alex has said it. Paul Joseph Watson has said it. We've said it repeatedly. Yet they continue to say that we're saying this is about martial law beginning. Let me read you this quote from 2013. This was from General McRaven, Admiral McRaven, when he was head of Special Forces. He said, "Special Forces can't bring a nation to its knees." In other words, this is, Jade Helm is a joint military exercise for all the different branches of Special Forces. So if they're going to do martial law, they're not going to bring the nation to its knees, even if it was going to be something like that. They wouldn't use it that way. But he says, "We can shape the outcome of the fight well before the battle begins by knowing and influencing populations in phase one. Then once the fight starts, we can provide insights that will place the right forces in the right place at the right time." And to me, Paul, that's what I'm concerned about, and that is mastering the human domain, understanding that for over 15 years, the intelligence community, Homeland Security, and the military have been talking about human domain analytics. This is a psyop. This is what a friend of Joe Biggs told him from the very beginning from SOCOM. He said, just shut up. It's just Jade Helm is just a psyop. They want to measure our reaction to it. They want to give you disinformation. They want to discredit people who will investigate and question what the government tells us. They want to discredit us with a straw man argument, that saying that it is something that we're not saying. What's your take on this, Paul?
Well, the bottom line on it is, you know, Jade Helm doesn't exist in a vacuum. The article Beyond Denial, Preparations for Martial Law, documents at length the fact that this has been going on for at least 20 years, if not more. We know the federal government and the U.S. military are preparing for riots. They say it in their own documents, and then we get, you know, the Davos Economic Forum people coming out and saying that the elite are buying strips of land in New Zealand because they're preparing for civil unrest. So that's on the record. That's not a conspiracy theory. There are actual conspiracy theories which are completely ridiculous about Jade Helm, and they get a lot of attention and, you know, take the focus away from what's provable, what's manifestly provable. So they only benefit the mainstream media. So, you know, we've documented that this is an ongoing preparation for civil unrest. The DHS has prepared for it, for a mass influx of immigrants from Mexico. That's all on the record. It's no conspiracy theory. And no matter how many times you use that word, that term, it just doesn't wash.
Absolutely. And when we look at the fact that they say, well, this is for worldwide operations, may very well be, as you point out, some training for something that they're going to do in the Ukraine. Nevertheless, what concerned everybody when the NDAA Act was put together and signed by Obama, that would allow the military to grab people and hold them indefinitely. People were very concerned about that because that was something that could be done worldwide. And according to the authorization for the use of military force, America is part of the world, part of that worldwide war of terror that they have going on. But of course, you mentioned if there's an economic collapse, let's take this now to the ban on cash. Of course, there's an article up today, leading German Keynesian economist calls for cash ban. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, this is German Council of Economic Expert Peter Bofinger, this came out of Spiegel, he said, quote, coins and bills are obsolete and only reduce the influence of central banks. So currently we've got this obsession that technocratic interventionism, despite the fact that it's proven utterly flawed in reviving economic growth, is now the answer, even though it's proven to have never worked in the first place. So a few days ago, we put out the article about Jim Leavis. He wrote an editorial out of the Telegraph, which got linked on Drudge, which said, quote, forcing everyone to spend only by electronic means from an account held at a government-run bank would give the authorities far better tools to deal with recessions and economic booms. So it's basically Keynesianism on steroids. It sounds like something out of Adolf Hitler's Minister of Finance. What's interesting about Leavis is when I drew attention to his Twitter account after he put out this article, he not only locked his Twitter account, he actually removed his own picture, his own face, blacked out his own face from his personal Twitter account after he began to catch heat for this article. So wow. It seems as soon as they start to attract criticism, they run away like cowards because nobody agrees with them whatsoever. And, you know, we've had City's William Buter come out and say the same thing a few weeks before. We've talked about banks in the UK like HSBC interrogating people on the money they deposit and the money they take out when it's in amounts over £5,000. So there's a war on cash, and basically central bankers are trying to position themselves for the next economic collapse, the bond apocalypse, which everybody says is coming, to exploit this situation. And they don't want people having a significant amount of control over their own capital. So that's why they're pushing these kind of draconian measures.
Absolutely. It's all about control. It's about central bank control. Now, they like to spin it as saying that it is something that is benign and beneficial. But of course, it isn't going to be benign and beneficial if they take away your freedom and your independence. And related to that, I mean, is what they're doing with the automotive cars, the self-driving autonomous cars, saying that they're going to take away. And of course, we've had Elon Musk say it won't be that long before humans will be banned from driving cars. We've got the head of Uber saying that once they get self-driving taxis, then individual car ownership will just go away. All of these are control points, your movement, your physical movement, and of course, your movement of cash, your control of cash. And they want to know, Paul, everything about you, which is what we've just been talking about, mastering the human domain, looking at all of our metadata, looking at our social network, looking at where what we do, where we go, the cash that we have. It's all part of that dominating the human domain. And that's a very troubling idea, but that certainly, I think, describes very well the broad policies of our government, not just abroad, but certainly directed here in the United States.
Exactly. And they want you to know that they're collecting all your data, not really because most of the data is very useful, simply for the fact that if you know you're being watched, you self-police, you yes. change your behavior, you dissuade yourself from engaging in free speech, from criticizing authority. So just the very notion that you're under surveillance, never mind what information they've got on you, is a control mechanism. And then going back to this quote, this column by Leavis in the Telegraph, he said, quote, if notes and coins were abolished and the only way to hold money was through a government-controlled bank, there would be no escape. So he's that brazen in talking about how people will... their finances will be locked down in prison within this central banker-controlled system. You know, it's akin to having a bank account where you have to get government permission to take out your money.
Yes,
we're talking
yes.
about a tax on financial transactions, too.
Paul, can you stay with us? One more segment.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Paul Joseph Watson. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Paul Joseph Watson in the UK. We've been talking about one central bank after the other saying that we need to ban cash because that will help them to control the economy better. It'll also help them to control us as well. I want to talk to Paul about Bilderberg 2015. That's coming up soon. He's going to be going to that this year. Before we do, quickly, though, I want to tell you about Prostaguard. It's one of our new products at InfoWarsLife.com. Understand that as you get older, there's a different kind of testosterone that you'll get, dihydrotestosterone. And it's something that basically causes male pattern baldness. It's been seen as the driving force behind benign prostate enlargement, even prostate cancer. Your body changes over a period of time. One of the things that's been recognized as being very effective at helping your body to deal with those changes, as you get older, that kind of testosterone, is saw palmetto, as well as lycopene. And, of course, we've added plant sterols, zinc, vitamin D3, selenium, copper, and many other key ingredients to Prostaguard. And that's available at an introductory price of $5 off what it's going to be. Right now, you can get that for $19.95 at InfoWars Life. It's something, if you're a male, you should be taking this, especially as you're getting older. None of those things or anything that you want to have happen to you, enlarged prostate, male pattern baldness, or even prostate cancer. Saw palmetto has been recognized by many people as being very effective. It does have some areas where it is not as effective as some other things, complemented with lycopene, however, in this formulation. That is very effective in terms of controlling your hormones as they change as you go through life. Let's go back to Paul. Paul, as we look at Bilderberg coming up, it's important to remember that the EU and the Euro were put out there at the very first Bilderberg meeting. What was that, in 1955, I think?
Yeah, that's right. And the EU is going to be a big subject coming up because, of course, now that the Tories have won again in Britain, we're going to have a EU referendum on whether Britain stays in the European Union before 2017. Last year, we saw a massive revolt in the Euro elections against that Bilderberg model of European federalism. But the security precautions for this year's Bilderberg, from what I've read so far, seem to be way more intense than what we saw last year in Copenhagen, which was relatively relaxed. Mm-hmm. They've got the Cobra anti-terror forces on standby, ready to provide security at Bilderberg 2015. This was an organization formed in response to the attack on Israeli athletes at the 1972 Munich Olympics, and their speciality is hostage rescue and basically dealing with terrorists. Wow. They're armed with assault rifles, pistols, and grenade launchers. They're going to be on hand for what is probably going to amount to about 100 to 200 protesters who actually show up to demonstrate against Bilderberg because it's in a quite remote area in the Austrian Alps.
So you kind of got this Cobra huge... protecting Hydra there, right?
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The mistake they've made is they're using the same intensity of security procedures for G7, which is a few days before in Bavaria, Germany, and then basically using that same model for Bilderberg, when we know it's a completely different crowd. In mm-hmm. fact, the left-wing protesters, some of which are, you know, agitators and black bloc anarchists who protest G7, aren't interested in Bilderberg. They never have been. You never see those kind of protesters at Bilderberg. But now they're saying in Austrian media today that the police are expecting violent protesters to show up at Bilderberg. There's never been one instance of violence at Bilderberg protests in the past. They're talking about 2,100 police officers on standby for Bilderberg. I mean, if they show up in those numbers, they will outnumber the protesters about 10 to 1, at least.
And they're why would they need this massive police state? You know, this is just a little friendly meeting with a few corporations and politicians, you know, meeting behind closed doors. When we looked at what happened last year, they were, as you pointed out, it was very lax compared to all the other Bilderbergs. I mean, we were just across the, we were as close as being across a four-lane road with a median in between it.
Yeah, and that's the closest anybody's probably ever got, where they weren't harassed by police, where they weren't moved on. So that was quite unprecedented. Obviously, Bilderberg security were uncomfortable with that. And I think it's going to be a lot different this time because they're talking about Black Hawk military helicopters They're talking about roadblocks on all the major roads surrounding the hotel. They're even talking about police presence on these alpine hike and bike trails just for locals and tourists who are going to be on hikes.
They sound like a bunch of
way more intense than usual.
They sound like paranoid conspiracy theorists. You know, though, when we look at this, and we see that they're meeting in secret, as they have for decades. For many decades, everybody would laugh at you if you even talked about Bilderberg. Of course, that doesn't even exist. They were able to keep that essentially a secret. And I think, Paul, when we look at how this went on for many decades, now, of course, we've got a massive treaties that will unite North America with Europe, unite North America with the Pacific, the transatlantic, the trans-Pacific partnership agreements. These things are all coming together, coming to fruition, being negotiated for years in secret by corporate lobbyists. When we ignore the things like Bilderberg, like the Council on Foreign Relations, effect on issues on government, this is what we wind up with. We wind up with things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I think it's people need to understand that they're now talking about in Europe taking away the sovereignty of the different nations. We've had Alan Greenspan, as well as the head of PIMCO, one of the world's largest bond companies, talking about how they're not going to solve this Greek tragedy without the European nations surrendering their sovereignty to the EU, which was essentially put together as a trade bloc.
Yeah, and that's likely what they're going to be talking about at Bilderberg. I know that they're going to be talking about Agenda 21 and sustainable development, which, again, is based around this Plandopolis, lowering our standard of living. And that all ties into this restriction on sovereignty, which, of course, is Bilderberg's raison d'etre. So that's definitely going to be near the top of the agenda.
Yeah, well, as they consolidate wealth, and they're going to be looking at ways that they can take possession of the land. Of course, that's what Agenda 21 is about. When you look at John McCain in Arizona selling off this massive amount of public lands, park lands, historical value, religious significance to the Indians there that was under treaty since the early 1950s. Of course, selling that off to a foreign corporation that's going to create a crater that you'll be able to see from space. This is what it looks like. This is what you see when the senators like McCain or Harry Reid take an area and they sell it off to a foreign corporation. We can see elements of it in the Keystone Pipeline, where you've got TransCanada, Canadian corporation, given the rights of condemnation of eminent domain, taking people's farms that they've had in their family for over 100 years, allowing a foreign corporation to do that for their own private use. That's what we're going to see more and more of. That's what they're probably talking about in terms of Agenda 21 at this Bilderberg meeting. How are they going to now take possession of what they own after they've gotten us into so much debt?
Yeah, and of course, with TPP, I mean, Paul Ryan's trying to make the argument today that we need the United States to be in control of these agreements rather than China. It's not about that. It's about the fact that foreign corporations are going to have the power to change U.S. laws. That's not a pro-business position. That's not a fiscally conservative position. That's a direct threat to sovereignty, no matter where you stand in terms of the political spectrum. So that's why people are concerned about TPP, and that's why they want to know the details.
They've been able to laugh for decades about the idea that Bilderberg was meeting in secret. And now what we see is a trade negotiation that is being done in secret. And as Senator Sessions has pointed out, Paul, once this is given fast-track authority, of course, they've already negotiated the agreements that they want, so it'll be a couple of weeks that people have finally a chance to look at the agreement publicly. But there will be no amendments made to it. But as Senator Sessions pointed out, they will be able to amend this without any further input from our elected representatives. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul Joseph Watson. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We've been talking to Paul Joseph Watson from the UK. We've been covering what I would say is some pretty bad trends. Of course, we see the police state ramping up in the UK with recent counterterrorism pronouncements by David Cameron, saying that, you know, prior to this point, if you just obeyed the law, we would be very tolerant of you. But those days are over, signaling a kind of a pre-crime scrutiny of people that we've not seen before in Western societies. It's just ramping up incrementally. Nevertheless, there is still some good news. Here's a bit of good news. Huge victory. USDA introduces official non-GMO label. This is a story from Natural Society. They point out, in response to the sounds of public outcry, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is being forced to do something. They have now come up with a new certification companies can use to show that their products are free of GMOs. Now, as this article points out, you have to kind of be careful about how the labels are set up, and I guess it still remains to be seen exactly what they're going to have in this. The non-GMO projects verified label that says that the whatever you're buying is not GMO does not certify that there are no pesticides. In other words, they could put some very dangerous inorganic pesticides on the produce, and it could still be non-GMO as long as the pesticides and the plant were not genetically modified. That's why organic is so important. And, of course, there's another article that I think is very helpful. If you look at this on Infowars.com, this is an article from Dr. Group, Where to Find Natural Building Materials. Use all organic products in your next project. Because that reminds us that it's not just the food that we eat, but it's also many other things that we come in contact with that can give us exposure to inorganic chemicals, to things that can be very toxic. This is a great article. I'm not going to go over it in detail, but again, you'll find that at Infowars.com, where to find natural building materials. And then finally, there's this article that comes out of Sweden. And what they had was Sweden's co-op and Swedish Environmental Research Institute decided that they would do an experiment with a family to see how long it would take for them to get pesticide levels out of their body if they started eating organic. So what they did was they took a family of four, two adults, three kids that were aged 12, 10, and 3. They started giving them organic food. They measured their urine samples every morning to see how many pesticides. They had 12 known pesticides and metabolites that they were looking at, and they wanted to see how long it would take to purge this out of their system. The good news is that it happened in only 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks of eating organic, they could get the pesticides that were being sprayed on their food that had been stored in their body, they could get it out in that amount of time. It's very important to understand that, as I mentioned, you can get organics in the food that you eat. You can get it in the materials that you build with, what you're exposed to. It's also important to understand that there are also internal changes that are going on in your body. That's why when I was talking about our new product, Prostaguard, I mentioned the fact that as you get older, you get a form of testosterone called dihydrotestosterone. One way that you can deal with that is with things like saw palmetto or lycopene. You can find that in our new product, Prostaguard. That's available at an introductory price of $5 off. We also have a 20% sale on Super Male and Super Female Vitality. That'll save you $12 per bottle. And that's a very important thing, too, because it's a source of non-GMO natural nutrients that you can get that will also help to deal with the changes in your body as you're getting older. As men age, they often experience a slow down in vitality and energy, overall wellness, and Super Male Vitality is specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper balance to create superior vitality in males. So again, that's something that you can do to try to take care of your own health, even if you can't get the government to stop putting pesticides in the water. That's what fluoride is. It's essentially a pesticide. They sell it that way in China. You can still filter it out. You can get nutrients that will help your body to deal with that, to help it help you to purge that out. Well, that's our good news. Now, I have to tell you some other bad news. There's a couple of very disturbing police videos that came out in just the last couple of days. One of these came out, I think it was on, it was yesterday that this came out, where a sheriff in Kentucky tells reporters about a shooting. He says, "Well, I'm just glad the unarmed guy we shot was white." Pretty amazing pronouncement. But of course, the local police chief that he had the press conference with was also saying there is no such thing as an unarmed encounter with law enforcement. Now, he repeated that twice. And I think that was just as inflammatory as what this sheriff said. Because you have to understand that in this particular instance, the guy was, he did ram the police vehicle multiple times with his car. So he was using his vehicle as a weapon, and that was his point, using the vehicle as a weapon. Yet we have still seen this lady in Washington, D.C. that was panicked and shot dead with a child in the back seat. We also have the case that is now coming before a grand jury about the police officers who shot 7 or 8 police officers that shot about 150 rounds of ammunition at a car that 2 people in it, unarmed. And at the end of it, one of the police officers reloaded, jumped on the hood, and unloaded into the 2 occupants that presumably might have still been alive at that moment. That particular officer is being looked at, and he was charged, and we're looking to see if that's going to be an indictment. That's a very volatile situation that's going on in Cleveland. Joe Biggs is going to go to report on that, just as he has in the past, along with Jakari Jackson, gone to report on Ferguson as well as Baltimore to see what happens. Hopefully there will be justice done. Hopefully there will not be any riots there. But just as this sheriff is saying, we're glad the unarmed guy that we shot was white. Perhaps that was because white people are essentially comatose when it comes to police brutality in this country. But black people are experiencing it all the time. Let's take a look at this other report where we have a couple of individuals trying to show the difference in the way a white man and a black man are treated in the same town doing an open carry of an AR-15, which is legal. Let's run that video, and I'll narrate it for those who are listening on the radio.
I'm audio recording as well. Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is a white guy. He's being challenged by the police.
No, sir.
Why not?
Because I don't have to. I'm not doing
He wants his ID.
Okay. Any particular reason why you're carrying the AR, especially around at this point?
I'm just exercising my right.
I understand that, but is there a reason why you're doing it?
He wants to know why he's carrying an AR-15, okay? So he kind of hassles them, and I thought it was kind of outrageous, but they did that fairly shortly. Now we've got a black man walking down the same street with the same gun, and what happens is the cop...
He pulled out the gun. He's getting down.
The cop jumps out of his car.
He's just walking up and carrying.
Gets behind the door of the car, is pointing a rifle at him, tells him to get down. I mean, he doesn't come over to him and talk like he did the white guy. He pulls the gun on him, gets him down on the ground, and starts shouting to the woman who is recording this, telling her to get down. She says, I'm 7 months pregnant. I can't lay flat on the ground. So he continues to hold the gun on him.
I'm 7 months pregnant. I can't.
On the sidewalk.
7 months pregnant. Can I lay on the ground? Let you know I am audio and video recording you.
That's fine.
I'm audio recording too.
Okay, so right now he's still got the gun trained on him. He's at a distance. He's standing behind the door of his vehicle. And what you're going to see, we're not going to run this whole thing, but what happens is they get about a half a dozen police cars come up, all of them trained guns on him. He just had the gun slung over his shoulder and was walking along. And again, the white guy was harassed by the and challenged by the cop. The black guy, they pulled gun on him instantly and then got a massive army there. That speaks volumes about what's wrong with this country. Both of those encounters, the white guy's encounter would be bad enough. But what you saw with the black man is absolutely outrageous. There definitely is a racial component to this. No one can deny it. It's not just about harassing people who are open carrying. It is also going directly after this black man pointing the gun at him. Do not try that at home. That's a very dangerous thing. I saw some people say, well, that was really stupid for them to do that. They could have gotten shot. They were making a point, very bravely making a point about what's going on with our law enforcement. We need to get control of this. We need to have a government that doesn't operate in secret yet demand to know everything about us. We need to understand what the mission of our government is. We need to be able to control it. And when we have the police who are frightened, who shoot people when they're not a threat to them, there needs to be consequences for the policeman who does that, for the department that does that. It shouldn't just be consequences for the taxpayer who has to pay a judgment to somebody. It shouldn't just be consequences for the innocent people who get shot. We need to see some consequences for the police department. They should have to pay something out of their budget, even if it shuts them down. And we should see some of these people going to jail when they shoot down innocent people. Well, that's it for today. Join us again tomorrow at 11 Central. Alex Jones will be with us.